3, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Clark County Council to order. Thank y'all for being here. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Washburn?
Present.
Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
And Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
I will now call on Councilmember John Leedus in the Pledge of Allegiance. Follow my indication, please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Today is a blessing to be able to look out and see the brightness of a new day. A day that no man ever seen before and a day no man will see again, but we can tell somebody we remember this day. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as we come into this place to pause to take care of the business for the citizens, the taxpayers, and the people that live here in Ghana, we pray, Father, that you will be with us throughout this meeting. Let us do the things that will be pleasing in your sight. And if we do those things that are pleasing in your sight, everything will be okay. Now bless this town in a special way. And Father, don't let us be selfish in our prayers. Let us remember to go to Washington and remember the President of this United States. Guide him in the right direction that he would do the things that will be accepted in your sight. Father, this is our prayer. This is our hope. We pray in your name. Amen.
Okay, next is petitions and comments. That is time on the agenda if anyone to address the council on an item that is not on tonight's agenda. If you wish to address the council, go to the podium, state your name and address. You can approach the council. Hearing none, we'll move on to adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of the agenda as presented in our agenda packet.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We've got two presentations. First is a Black History Month proclamation. I'm going to ask Councilmember Behringer to read that proclamation. Afterwards, the council will vote to approve the proclamation.
Okay.
Kathy.
All right. Whereas much of the town of Garner's honor, strength, and stature can be attributed to the diversity of cultures and traditions that are celebrated by the residents of this great region, and whereas African Americans have played significant roles in the history of North Carolina's state economic, cultural, spiritual, and political development while working tirelessly to maintain and promote their culture and history, and whereas as a result of their determination, hard work, intelligence, and perseverance, African Americans have made valuable and lasting contributions to the town of Garner and our state, achieving exceptional success in all aspects of society, including business, education, politics, science, and the arts. And whereas in 1976, Black History Month was formally adopted to honor and affirm the importance of Black history throughout our American experience, which goes back thousands of years and includes some of the greatest, most advanced, and innovative societies in our history that we can all draw inspiration from. And whereas Black History Month is a time for all Americans to remember the stories and teachings of those who helped build our nation, took a stance against prejudice to build lives of dignity and opportunity, advanced the cause of civil rights, and strengthened families and communities. And whereas during Black History Month, all Americans are encouraged to reflect on past successes and challenges of African Americans and look to the future to continue to improve society so that we live up to the ideals of freedom, equality, and justice. Now, therefore, Ronnie S. Williams, Mayor, hereby proclaims the month of February 2018 to be Black History Month.
Motion to adopt it.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Next, we have Mr. Elmo Vance, who's going to make a presentation of the MLK Dream in Action Award. Elmo, come forward, please. Yes, sir. You're in charge temporarily.
Pardon? Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, to the council and to the citizens who are gathered. It is my honor to come before you to present to you our Dream in Action Award winner. On January 14th, we had our Martin Luther King celebration at the Garner Performance Arts Center, where we had a number of great activities that took place, where we also recognized this individual who is doing a tremendous job within our community and who is exemplifying the character of Dr. King in her actions. And in doing so, we present this award, the Dream in Action Award, to Ms. Kathy Taylor, in recognition of your dedication and untiring work in assisting youth to develop strong positive attitudes toward law enforcement officers through PAL, the Police Athletic Activities League, while attaining the goal of maturity and good citizenship, and your continuation of the legacy of this visionary leader who was deeply committed to achieving social justice through nonviolent means. And on the plaque, we have a quote that was given by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King: "An individual has not begun to live until he can rise above the narrow horizons of his particular individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all of humanity." And we, the MLK, Martin Luther King Celebration Committee, believes that Ms. Kathy Taylor exemplifies what the slogan is all about. And I'd like to present to you this year's MLK Dream in Action Award winner, Ms. Kathy Taylor.
I just say a few words. I will be brief. But I will say I would like to mention this. I was asked by someone. I retired from the state at the Court of Appeals after 33 years. And when I took this job, someone asked me, why did I take it? And I said, well, I love kids. I want to work with kids. I want to make a difference. And they told me, you can't save all the kids, so why would you want this job? I said, but if I save one, I can save the world. So that's kind of my little motto. This is truly an honor to receive this award. I want to personally thank Mr. Dwight, my buddy, for nominating me for this. And a special thank you to the Martin Luther King Committee in choosing me for this award. I really do appreciate it. And I would like to thank you, Mayor Williams, and to all the town council for your continued support for PAL and your support for the police department. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next on the agenda is the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, move that the consent agenda be approved, if you're saying if there's not any changes or deletions or added to it.
Second.
All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay, next on the agenda is a quasi-judicial hearing and two annexation petitions. Mr. Attorney.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a matter coming up, the sod building, which is a type of hearing which the law and the courts call a quasi-judicial hearing, meaning it's slightly different from the normal things we do in a town council meeting format. There are three basic differences. One is that testimony is given on oath or affirmation by persons who are deemed to be expert witnesses in some field related to development. Basically, the other differences are that there are procedures set in effect to assure that persons who are involved in the hearing are entitled to a fair and impartial hearing. And basically, to that end, we'll do two things. We'll ask those of you who are going to testify to come up and be sworn, and then when you're sworn, we will turn it back to the mayor, and he will ask the council certain questions about whether they can give a fair and impartial hearing ex parte communications. So those of you who would like to testify, please come forward and let the clerk administer the oath.
Mr. Mayor, we are now prepared to proceed in a minute or two with CUP SB 1730, the sod building. But first, if you would ask the council members whether they have had any ex parte communications from anyone about this matter, and if so, to describe them briefly. And second, whether any council member has any reason to believe that he or she cannot give a fair and impartial decision in this case.
Yeah, let's do the ex parte. Anybody?
No.
What was the second part?
Fair and impartial decision.
Yeah, fair and impartial decision. We don't have any of that, so we're ready to move.
You can open the hearing and roll on with it.
First item to consider is condition is CUP SB 1730. I will open the public hearing. Call on Jeff Friedenberg.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. All right, so this project is coming to you from the Planning Commission's meeting in January, which should now be the Town Council. The applicant for this case is Tony M. Tate Landscape Architecture. The owners are White Oak Associates, and this tract is located generally at the southeast corner of Ranger Road and Brooksteel Lane in the White Oak Business Park. The property will be subdivided as part of this project, and so the affected parcel is about 6.5 acres. Since this is just a special use permit, we reviewed this primarily just for site plan conformity with the town's adopted plans and policies. There were a couple of outstanding items. One of those will still be that the parcel will need to be subdivided prior to release of any building permit. There were two items required to be addressed prior to tonight's meeting. Those have been addressed. So here's the site in question outlined in the yellow. It is part of a larger parcel that includes even some land on the other side of Brooksteel Lane. Most of this area is zoned MXD, which is our old obsolete mixed zoning district. Meaning that we're not actively rezoning anything to that these days, but it still is in place primarily over here on the southern side of Greenfield Parkway and White Oak Business Park. So for the most part, we have vacant uses, vacant parcels, a lot of flex buildings, warehouse, indoor storage. There is an indoor recreation facility just to the north, I believe, on this parcel here. Then we have our recent ETJ expansion area to the south of White Oak Creek. So the site does also lie adjacent to some RMH, which is for mobile homes. In this case, these are laid out in a subdivision pattern where they also own their individual lots. Again, the proposed use for this particular building is a flex warehouse style building. It is 18,900 square feet in space. The architecture will consist of metal and slab construction with service bays and loading docks facing the rear, which will be the eastern side of the property. The final finishes will be a mix of masonry and metal panels on the visible elevations and metal panels on the remainder. So that would be the north and the east. So then the colors on the west and the south will be a mixture of reds, browns, and grays. Here are the elevations for the buildings. Again, the left and the rear both back up into the interior parts of the business park, so we're not as concerned with those being visible to the general public. But this is your main facade facing out towards Rainier Road on the bottom. And then this elevation here, the right elevation, is the one facing the single-family mobile home parks across the creek. The plan does meet the requirements of the landscaping ordinance. Tree cover is met with existing preserved areas. There's quite a few buffers along the property. There is a 15-foot street buffer along Rainier Road. We will determine in the field if existing trees meet those requirements. It's expected that it probably will. The perimeter buffers, we have a 65-foot buffer along the southern property line due to the presence of the adjacent residential lots, and 7.5 feet elsewhere. The north will consist of new plantings. The east and south will be determined again in the field to see if existing meets requirements. And again, it is expected, but they have provided options in case things need to be supplemented. Our parking requirements are based on one space per 400 feet of flex space, so that resulted in required parking of 48 spaces, with two of those being accessible, and that is exactly what they have proposed. In terms of fire protection, the fire inspectors and building inspectors reviewed the plans and gave their approval on the condition that the existing driveway pipe was adequate to withstand 75,000 pounds, the weight of the fire truck coming over it. There was a statement to be provided by the engineer prior to tonight's meeting, and they have addressed that and engineered it accordingly. As noted previously, there is a FEMA-designated floodplain along the southern boundary, as well as some wetlands, both to the north-northwest. All of those will remain undisturbed. There is also a stream feature along the eastern boundary, which is also subject to the new buffer rules. In terms of stormwater management, water quantity was not required for the White Oak Business Park. However, for water quality, payment to a private mitigation bank was required. Connection to public water and sewer is proposed. The on-site sewer design will require construction drawing from the City of Raleigh. There is one point of vehicle access off of Rainier Road. There will be sidewalk added along Rainier Road. Most of it actually is already there. But they will be coordinating with the project for that NCDOT is working on to replace the Rainier Road Bridge over White Oak Creek. So that way we'll ensure that we have consistent sidewalk along the eastern side of Rainier Road all the way to the bridge. Here is the site plan. You can see the point of entrance here off of Rainier Road. This gray area down here is the wide floodplain for White Oak Creek. You see the building here with the parking for employees and visitors here in the front, a large gravel pad yard in the back. There is one loading dock area centrally positioned in the rear. Fire access coming around the northern side of the property. Again, you can see here is that stream buffer along the eastern property edge. And again, over here on the western side, we have the wetlands. So it's kind of tucked away in here amongst quite a few natural features. The lighting plan meets the requirements of our lighting ordinance. The site lighting is being provided by 30-foot poles with mounted LED cobra head lights with a warm white hue. In terms of site plan conformity with the Garner Transportation Plan, we did discover that an additional 5 feet of right-of-way was needed for dedication along Rainier Road. They have made that provision. And so with that in place, we do consider the plan to be in conformance with the 2010 Garner Transportation Plan. Parks, Rec, Open Space, and Greenway Master Plan, there were no recommendations specifically for this area. There is an existing easement, a greenway easement for the greenway along White Oak Creek that's in place already. So therefore, with there being no further recommendations, it is considered consistent with that plan. We did note that there were still a couple of items remaining to be addressed prior to tonight's public hearing. Those have been addressed, so it is now to be considered in conformity with the Unified Development Ordinance. At the Planning Commission, the Planning Commission gave a unanimous vote of 6-0 to confirm staff's findings that the site plan is in conformity with adopted plans and policies. So long as those two items were addressed, again, those two were that the engineering notification for the driveway pipe being able to withstand 75,000 pounds was received, and then also that either the finished materials for the dumpster enclosure matched those of the primary structure in its current location, or the dumpster be moved to an acceptable location per town staff. The applicant has decided to go ahead and use matching finishing materials in the current location. As far as the recommended motion for you tonight, we do have section 6 of your staff report. We would just ask that you refer to that for you making your council motion.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Does the council have any questions?
I had just a curiosity question. Is because of all the other circumstances on the rest of the lot is or the parcel, is this mainly the buildable portion of it, or is any of the other portions of that acreage buildable?
I'll let the owner speak to that. It's going to be narrow because these wetlands do kind of come up and bisect the property, at least on the south side of Brick Steel Lane, but there might be a little bit of space, particularly on the remainder on the north side, there will be, for sure.
Okay, thank you. I'm just curious. Yeah, it appeared that it would be very limited as to what Mr. Saad, I guess, is the owner might put there, but that's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone in the audience, please, if you go to the podium. Make your name and address.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Pam Porter, 5714 Williamsburg Way in Durham. I am the landscape architect on this project. I work for Tony Tate Landscape Architects. I don't know as if I have anything to add that Jeff has not already said, but I'll happy to answer any questions you may have, and thank you for your consideration of our project this evening.
Good. Thank you. We come on closed public hearing. Call for a motion.
Mayor, move the council accept the staff recommendation or staff statements regarding plan consistency in section 5-4 of this report as her own, and find that the application meets the 10 permit criteria in section 3.14.D, and therefore approve CUP SP 1730, otherwise known as the sod building, with the three standard conditions listed on the attached permit.
Second. Motion second. Further discussion? All in favor, vote by saying aye. All opposed. Next, we have two annexation petitions. The first is to consider annexation ANX 1708, Springfield Baptist Church. David Banford, open the public hearing.
Good evening, members of council and Mr. Mayor. This site is the Springfield Baptist Church, and it's there's a church on the east side of Auburn Knightdale Road, which is a newer facility, and there's also an older church on the north side, and they would like to connect into the town water system and connect to town water. In order to do that, they need to file an annexation petition. So that is the reason they are requesting annexation. The site is about 50 acres in size, and it's located near the Auburn Village development that's should be under construction. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Council, have any questions? Anyone in the audience have any comments? I will close the public hearing. Call for motion.
Mayor, I move we adopt ordinance 2018-3900 to extend the corporate limits of the town of Garner.
Second.
Motion made and second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, David, you got the ANX 1709 Church Road.
This is another site.
Let me open the public hearing again. Go ahead.
This is a site that's located on the east side of Hebron Church Road, and this is a site that is owned by the town of Garner. The site is almost 8 acres, and this was purchased in a separate real estate deal from the larger Meadowbrook site. And the Meadowbrook site was annexed, and so this is just a housekeeping thing that we have presented tonight, that this site also needs to be annexed. Again, this is owned by the town of Garner, and this would actually provide the future park direct frontage to a public street, which would be Hebron Church Road. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, we'll call for a motion. Let me close the public hearing, then we'll call for a motion.
Mr. Mayor, move we adopt ordinance 2018-3901, an ordinance to extend the corporate limits of the town of Garner.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. We're going too fast.
You know, I may have, I thought that was the second one. I thought it was 3901. Is it 3900 or is it 3901?
Oh, it's 3900.
First one I said was 3900.
Okay, then I made a mistake and to.
We can change it.
I think you said
3901.
You see it?
Very good.
Yes,
S01, Buck. Got it. Confused myself. Move right along.
Okay, new and old business. Committee reports.
Mike mentioned one, the ad hoc committee addressing the issue of the memorandum of understanding with the fire department. We're having our second meeting tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Ken and I are representing council on that and to be here in town hall.
Very good. Mr. Manager.
You have Garner info in front of you in yellow, so if there's any questions about that, let me know. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that we will be having a United Way
celebration lunch tomorrow at White Deer Park Nature Center. 12 to 2 is the finale of our campaign, fundraising campaign. So we do that every year. You're certainly invited to attend if you're available. That's all I have.
Mr. Attorney.
There's a request for a closed session. Are you going to handle this, Matt?
I will. I'll have it.
It's a closed session, 143-318-1185, to discuss possible real estate acquisition and the town's negotiating position regarding such real estate.
Council reports. I'm going to start with Jackie Johns.
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Perringer.
Yes, sir, I have a couple of things. Yesterday, when it was raining so much and we're coming east on Garner Road, rounded the curve there near the railroad tracks at Van Dorn Springs Road, and there was significant flooding there. I know that's an ongoing problem, but whose responsibility is that to take care of? Is it the DOT or is it the town of Garner? It was obviously the drainage system is backed up terribly.
That's a DOT pipe under the railroad, which is in the railroad right away, and we've reported that numerous times.
Is there anything?
It has not gotten any attention, but there's a blockage. We looked at it just to see if there was anything easily we could do to it, but it seems like it's going to need some major work in order to handle that amount of rainfall.
So what is our options? To just continually let them know that it's a problem and that we need them to?
That's pretty much the only option we have, is just inform them. They've been informed about that many a times. It's been like that for several years. And someone just brought it up to me, so that's why I know so much about it right now, is because I just inquired about it just last week. And the fact that it's in the railroad right away and goes under the tracks complicates it even further as far as trying to fix something.
Second question is, I believe it was second meeting in January that we asked for some conversation with DOT about restriping Creech Road and removing the left turn center lane. Do we have any updates on that?
Yeah, I know staff met. I was not a part of the meetings. Staff met and talked about that. And you have an update on that, Matt?
So I believe there was a memo that they had written kind of outlining what they thought the options were, and I don't know if that's been finalized, but there has been some progress, but I'll check and see what the status is on that.
Yeah, I know one of the concerns was that the amount that, I guess, the queuing for the turn lane and what would happen if you get rid of that was in the memo, which I hadn't read in a while, but that was part of it. And then and trying to see what the options are if we get rid of that. And then that right-of-way is really close to the house.
It is, and so my thinking is that if we remove that left turn lane, then there would be more room for cars to make that turn, either going north or onto Creech Road, or making a right left turn lane to go east on Garner Road. And I realize the queuing is a consideration, but it's not very much, and it's only at just a short time in the morning and the afternoon. We could get them to look at that. That would be good.
I'll see if I can pull that memo and get some more exact information for you.
That's all.
And I know something about the bus radius turning and all of that had something to do with it, but I'll look back at that.
The bus can't even turn. Yeah. They can't make a right turn onto Creech Road without running over the curb and onto that property owner's property.
Yeah, especially if there's a car on eastbound Garner Road to turn left, the bus cannot make the turn. As I said, they're waiting for traffic to move. As Ms. Manager said, unless they drive up all over the property owner's property there.
Okay, Ken.
Just a couple, really, observations, more so than a report. I was pleased to see us have our continuing annual, I guess it's an annual Groundhog's Day this past Friday, I believe it was. The mayor was there in his coat and tails and top hat. And Snurd made some pronouncement, but I never did figure out exactly what he predicted. So
it was good.
Was it good? Okay, yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm like you. I really don't know which way it went.
Okay, yeah.
But we got it done.
Good, yeah. And as many people know, I think this town's pleased to note that a YMCA building is almost ready to entertain participants. They're having their grand opening on the 22nd, I believe, a ribbon cutting. And like some of you, you may have had a chance to tour the facility. It's a very nice facility, a great addition to our town. So wanted to commend those like Buck Kennedy and others who have served and donated and worked to make this happen. Thank you very much.
All I have.
Right.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I want to thank Public Works for their work during the snow removal and two snow events. And I know I didn't say anything at the last meeting, but I want to thank Public Works if you'll pass that along. Also, thank Chief Zudeman for the police for their work in the snow, because they're out there in it 24 hours a day, too. So thanks to both departments for their work. Had people comment and say what a good job they had done. Getting the local streets as best they could. And I think for the most part, I'm sure there were some fender benders and some accidents, but nothing major. So thanks again to Public Works and Police for the work during those weather events. That's all.
I'd endorse what Gray said, that in particular somebody came up to me soon after the first, the larger snow event. Was very complimentary of Public Works getting the roads cleared. But I'm sure they're not the only ones that are out there, police as well. I don't see Tony here tonight, but if he could come to the next board meeting and give us an update on the rec center, I'd appreciate it. I know this is old stuff, but I'm at the point now that I think a few months back, we considered sending a letter. You know, we were supposed to send a letter to the bonding company advising them that it's a point to this is an appropriate action to invoke the bonding company to move in on this, but just to alert them to that potential. And I think, Bill, We can determine if there's five votes up here, there are three votes that are behind turning up the temperatures to get some movement out there. It's just simply an embarrassment to the town not to make any more progress in what they've done. And that's all I have to say about the subject for now.
Okay, here, no problem. We have a closed session scheduled.
Yeah, I was just going to mention just briefly, and don't have all the details, but I know one thing we're going to need to do prior to taking that step is reconcile some days, possible extra days, and we're going to be bringing that info to you pretty soon. There's some events that I guess happened through the construction that, you know, they're asking about, and we've got to reconcile that with whether they're owed any extra days and all of that kind of stuff.
That is, I'm not surprised that there would be, and I think this is an appropriate time for them to have already done that long ago, and it would make the discussion here on the considering the additional days a lot more palatable, although it's required that we do it, that is, have that discussion. But I'd like for them to understand it would make it a lot more palatable if they were showing some signs of work instead of doing the administrative thing of give me more time, but I reckon it's more time to rest. But it's really, people come to me, you can add up all the other things that they say is good about the town, but when they come to us, this is the prevailing thing is, And they laugh, shake their head, and walk away. Can't understand it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's moving slow, that's for sure.
Well, until the last 30 days, they've had dry weather because we were abnormally dry, drought conditions. So they can't say, staff can't sit there and give them rain days. We didn't have any rain days to follow.
Well, I think they've got...
Last 30 days, 40 days, some of December and the snow events, I understand that. We all understand that when it was, you know, no higher than 22 degrees. We understand they can't lay concrete then or lay brick. But those are very few. Considering the construction started how many months ago? We did the ground record in the fall of 16. Good gosh.
They were authorized to proceed in August of 16. Only 18 months ago.
There's just too many days that work could be done and nobody was there. And some weeks it was weeks at a time that nobody was there. It doesn't hold water to say that the weather kept them from doing it.
And I drove by the Y site because that's right, you know, close to my house every day. They're out there on Saturdays working.
Right.
They're not working on Saturday on Montague and Main.
What Rodney's talking about also is issues that are beyond just the weather days, and I'm sure some of that will come up about the things that had to wait on to get plans corrected or
some utility issues and those type of
things drawn out in more detail so that the contractor could do their work, but the thing to do is just get them to talk to us, take some action, move on multiple fronts.
There's really, there's never been an adequate explanation about why they are so far behind. I believe we were supposed to be able to occupy that building in December of last year, and now they're telling us July, maybe.
The last official report was May, April or May. And
April 4th was a date locked in my mind that we would
it won't
be
happen.
Ready to go.
Well, be April 4th, 2019.
I get concerned about it. I don't mince my words. It's rather frustrating. And if Hope staff can talk to us, we've asked for that before, and I was hoping they would have an answer, have something directed from the contractor based on the monthly meeting in January. We requested that. That hasn't come about, so I'm not sure what it's going to take to get a response.
But I can get you.
Encourage them.
Yeah, I can get you the latest on what the schedule is. I just want to prepare the council that, you know, there will be a request coming forth from them for some extra days, regardless of whether it's for weather or utilities or whatever, that could, you know, change the schedule some. And I recognize, I mean, it is going very slow. And when I go check on it fairly often, that it seems like there's not many people working. And sometimes you can't tell if anybody's there working. So,
well, it would seem if they're requesting extra days, in my mind, they've already had extra days. And still we're not on a reasonable schedule for
completion. Just last summer, we take a camera, put it up out there, and you see when they're working. You know, I thought I was being funny. That was in the summer because my son was playing summer basketball because two people stopped me in the gym because they saw it on our meeting and said, y'all didn't do that. So that's been over 6 months ago.
There's also whether the architect needs to be here for that meeting, whatever that comes before council. I'll let you all worry about that. But if you think even the slightest need for him, summon them, because I think they're central to some of the issues involved. That's all I have done on that score.
And I found the memo that staff put together. I mean, we hadn't really had a chance to talk through it before presenting it to council, but since you asked about the Creech Road intersection, staff took a look at it and just wanted to make sure council still wanted to go forward with it, with some of the impacts that could be caused by eliminating the lanes. So, I mean, if you still do, that's fine. We just want to present you with information. I'll just read from this memo here. Removing the dual turn lanes from Creech Road would eliminate the opportunity for traffic to continue to make the protected right turn onto Garner Road. This would impact school bus traffic turning right onto Garner Road from the nearby school. Since per the North Carolina School Bus Driver Handbook, at signalized intersections, school buses are not allowed to turn right on red. There will also be a cost. Before that, it talked about the town made a request in 2004 to signalize the intersection. The decision to add both left and turn right lane from Creech Road into Garner Road was made by DOT. In its current configuration, the intersection has both left and right-hand turns. And then it further goes on. There will be a cost to modifying the intersection that DOT would likely bill to the town. The cost would include, but not be limited to, the resignalization of the intersection by removing the dedicated right turn lights from Creech Road onto Garner Road, reprogramming the signal cabinet for the intersection and reinstalling the pavement vibration sensing loops, and the restriping of the intersection and Creech Road to eliminate the split lanes and any engineering costs associated with this change. So with the potential for impacts to school bus traffic, overall traffic, and cost to the town, I guess staff is wanting to know, is there still a desire to make changes to that intersection? And I can forward this memo to you so you can read it and look at that.
In regards to school bus traffic, they can't turn right on red now anyway, because that violates their bus drivers don't turn right on red. So whether there's a dedicated right turn lane or not, they're still not turning on it when it's red. But there's no oncoming traffic. So that's not an issue as far as right. When their light turns green, people can get right or left with automobiles. But as far as slowing buses up at right on red, that's not going to make a difference because they can't get right on red now. But again, if you go out there and you sit and watch and you're there when the buses come by, it's a very tight turn. And when you're traveling west on Garner Road and get right by the bank's house to turn right onto Creech Road, most people don't stop at the stop bar. This is the biggest problem. The stop bar for the turn lane is way back here, and this is the stop bar for the right-hand, right-turn movement. These people come up here. It's hard to get an extended cab truck to turn by hitting someone. That's the problem. These people don't stop at the stop bar.
Coming too close to the
and we're not going to put the police out there with a hand up all the time, you know, stopping people. So that's the biggest problem. And therefore, the right turn in there, if you're heading westbound on Garner Road, the turn in there is a very tight turn. A bus can't make the turn unless the people are back at the stop bar or further back than that. So, I understand why they put the turn signal there. I understand all that about the right turn and free flow. But again, it's a narrow road with practically no right of way. And it's putting the 10 gallons of dirt in a 5 gallon bucket. It's just squeezing too much in there.
So, I know engineering or staff recommendation is to not make any changes, but we're certainly okay if the council wants us to inquire about that and see what the costs are and come back with you and let you make a decision after we get, you know, more information from DOT, and that's fine.
I think that is the appropriate thing. I was waiting to hear if staff actually had a recommendation, and apparently they do, so I'm glad they had a recommendation, and part of that is to find out what the cost would be.
Okay, we're going to close session. I need a motion with the appropriate general statute.
Mayor, move we go to closed session pursuant to NC General Statutes 143-318.11, subset A, subset 5, to discuss possible real estate acquisition and the town's negotiating position regarding such real estate.
All in favor, vote by saying
aye.
All opposed. Okay, we're in closed session. We're going to the other one. Okay. Wait, tell me what we did.
Council met in closed session to discuss possible real estate transaction and acquisition, and I took no action at this time.
Very good.
Move to adjourn.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, get out. Let's go. 8:10 is pretty good. We're not pretty good.